Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 72. Psalm 72. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have read a little portion of thy holy word, and that which can only come forth out of a heart that has been renewed by thee. Because by nature, and then we have no desire to magnify thy holy and thy worthy name, to bless thee. But Lord, and that new life that goes out unto thee with desires that old life never knew. Oh, that we also and our dear children may not forever remain strangers of that life and of those desires, and that our hearts may not forever cleave to the things that are here below. Lord, that we may be given a life that is new, a life that is with hunger and thirst after thee. Remember each and every one of us as we are travelers to that never, never ending eternity. Oh, we have read that thou art from everlasting, and thy dominion that is over all the earth. Then it will be from the ends of the earth, the kings of Seba and Sheba, they shall offer gifts, they shall come. Oh, when thou wilt be known as he that is the helper of the poor and of the needy. Oh, then they shall be brought from the ends of the earth, and they shall come with all their distresses, even as the multitude in the day of thy sojourn here below. When they did come as lepers and as blind and as lame, and when the sick they were laid in the streets. O Lord, that it may be experienced also in the day that we live in with our dear children. Oh, then it is so necessary that we learn to know our malady, that we may come to know the need for a remedy, else there shall never be a seeking after that blessed mediator, and that blessed Savior, that blessed Redeemer, else he shall never have a place in our heart of love and desire. Lord, wilt thou open then thy word to our hearts, and our hearts for thy word. Oh, bring it in us with power this day. And wilt thou strike us down in our natural hearts that we are lifted so up in pride with, that we have tried as our first father, that we would be as gods, making our own rules and our own laws, that we will uphold ourselves. But Lord, we have fallen so deeply, and we do not know it, and we do not understand it, we do not receive it, we will not believe it. Oh, bring it in our hearts, Lord. Impress it upon us with power, that we may be brought in our inner chamber, each and every one of us in our secret place, to cry out unto thee in all earnestness, in all truth, and in all humility, that we could not go on anymore in our life without God in this world, and that it may become the greatest burden of our heart, and that we are living in an active rebellion against thee, and that we have no desire for the knowledge of thee and of thy dear Son, of the way of salvation which thou hast procured. Lord, that it may become our grief and our burden, and that our heart is so corrupt and vain, that we may seek to be renewed. Oh, that we may seek to be reconciled unto our Maker. Lord, remember us. To whom else can we go but to Thee, who alone has the words of eternal life, and who can speak one word and we shall be healed. O Thou who sayest, to this one go and he goeth, and to that one come and he cometh. Lord, may Thou cast out the prince of darkness out of our hearts, and wilt Thou cause that the heart may burn with love and desire after our Maker and Creator. Lord, make Thy dear Son necessary and precious to each and every one. And may it be also to Thy children by renewal. Oh, come, Lord, in all of the vanity also of their own heart and life. Thy children of old, and did seek the idols of the nations all about them. Oh, they did stray so far away from Thee and Thy service. And Thou knowest the heart also of Thy people, that so often it is so far from that right place, that it is seeking again the vain things of the world. Lord, may Thou bring them again with weeping and with supplications. All those that have hung their harps upon the willows, those that have left their first love and cannot bring themselves back again, oh, may Thou give them a sigh. May Thou give them a cry to Thee, and may Thou hear from heaven Thy dwelling place to deliver out of all distress, and that they themselves do bring themselves into time and again. And wilt Thou thus bless Thy word, remember all the afflicted in all the ways of this life, oh, that Thou may supply, and that Thou may show Thyself as He who is the helper of the needy, and that they may be given to know, to feel, and to experience that Thou art the living God, and thus that the soul may be drawn to seek Thee. Remember all those that rule and reign over us. Be with our governors, the judges of our land. Cause righteous judgments and laws to proceed from them, that they also may be given to bow their knees before Thee. Give them an impression that they also have a ruler and a judge, and that they have to give an account one day of all their deeds. Wilt Thou look upon all those Thy servants that have been truly converted and called and sent forth by Thee? Lord, then it is a task that is for themselves an impossible one. But Lord, may Thou help them. May Thou go before as Thou hast promised. Wilt Thou give on the mission field also strength from above, and all the labors of their hands, and all those that are persecuted for Thy name's sake. Remember, wilt Thou give also more servants to labor in Thy vineyard? Oh, may it be bound upon the hearts of this or of that one, that may be burdened with that cause of Thy kingdom. Lord, Thou alone dost call. Oh, that Thou may give that it may not be of men, and that we may not make them make ministers ourselves, but oh, that Thou may bind it upon the heart, and that Thou would send yet forth fishers of men, that Thy kingdom may come in the world in which we are living with our dear children. Wilt Thou look upon all that are in the prisons, give true repentance, and teach us what we deserve, that we cannot place ourselves one step above them, because in our heart is every transgression of thy law. Lord, give us to feel something of that curse, that we may seek also to be delivered from the curse. Go with us then this day, this afternoon hour. Lord, may thou help us again to bring this portion of thy word, and that which we may receive the instruction of our forefathers. Oh, may thou give to experience it in our heart. Oh, that thou may give, that we may bring forth that which we may know, and that which we may feel, and that of which we may be utterly convinced. That also others may be brought by thy Spirit to come to know the need for that name of Jesus. Wilt thou help us then to preach? And wilt thou help us to listen? Take away sleepiness, drowsiness. Take away the buyers and the sellers. Separate us for a little while from all the things of time and sense. And give us yet a good hour in thy house of prayer. Lord, come to us, forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 111, the first three stanzas. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit, and from the miry clay upon a rock He set my feet, and steadfast made my way. The collection today, the extra collection at the last song today, is for the school. And we announced that the following young people hope to make public profession of faith on Sunday, January 21st in the afternoon service. Marie Arnold Dusen, Leonard Brunn, Beverly Den Hollander, Arjan Janssen. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 17th. Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today for the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The children of Israel congregation, when they stood there on this side of the sea, were in such great fear. And there was, in their own expectation, only bondage or death that was lying in front of them. So they feared for their life. That was the people of the Lord. That was His chosen people. That was those whom the Lord was delivering out of the land of Egypt, whom He was bringing into that land, that promised land of Canaan. And then they must experience such a fear. Why is that? Was the Lord not able to bring His children out of that land of Egypt in a different way? Why could that not go without such distress? Why could that not go without fear? Why could it not be that the Lord had brought them out of that land in a different way? It could not be. That is not from the side of God, but it is from the side of His people. That is in the first place. That the salvation of God's church that will certainly redound to the honor and to the glory of God. That God Himself is going to be glorified in the deliverance of His children out of the land of Egypt. It must be also for another reason. What is that? That is for their own appreciation. That thankfulness may be born within their heart. There is a third reason. What is that? That is for the assurance of their own soul. Because the children of Israel, they are going to see with their own eyes their enemy dead upon the seashore. And that is now only a little picture for the sake of God's true church here below. That is that a picture of that spiritual salvation of His people. And then it is necessary that the Lord is bringing His church through the sea. Then it is not such an easy way. Then it is necessary that the Lord is leading His people in the first place, that His own name that is going to receive all the honor and all the glory. Because the Lord is jealous of His honor. And He says that He will not give His honor unto another, but it is an honor that God's children also seek for themselves. But when the children of Israel, they come on the other side of that sea, and when they may see all of their enemies, then there is a song. Then they learn to sing, and that is true of all of the true people of the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. Oh, have we ever learned to sing? Have we ever learned to sing with the children of Israel because of the deliverance of the Lord in our life. When we see Hannah, then we see that the Lord is instructing His people for His own honor, that the Lord is instructing His people that they may be thankful unto Him, and that the Lord is instructing His people in the assurance of their own salvation when He Himself will put to shame every enemy. Oh, then she also learned to sing. Then she learned to sing, "The Lord killeth, and the Lord maketh alive. The Lord bringeth low, and the Lord lifteth up." Oh, that is just the beginning of that blessed and that eternal song for a salvation which that people cannot give unto themselves. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this with you this afternoon from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11. Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Question 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer, because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. So far, our Lord's Day. Jesus, the only Savior. First, what it means to save. Second, from what Jesus saves. And third, the extent of this salvation. Jesus, the only Savior. First, what it means to save. Second, from what Jesus saves. And third, the extent of this salvation. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? Last time, and we have spoken to you about God the Father. And now our instructors, they are speaking about God the Son, the second person of the divine Trinity. That is actually the subject of the next nine Lord's Days. But these articles which concern that Son of God actually can be divided into two parts. The first is concerning the person of the Son of God, and second, concerning the work or the offices of the Son of God. And so our instructors, they begin first with the person of the Son of God, who that this person is. And to know this, then they go to the Holy Scriptures, because in the Holy Scriptures, then this person has revealed Himself by way of His names. Thus, in this Lord's Day, we read about the name of Jesus. In Lord's Day 12, we read about the name of Christ. And in Lord's Day 13, we read about the names Son and Lord. Thus, today about the name Jesus. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Thus, our fathers are now asking for the reason that the Lord Jesus has been given this particular name. We do not ask this of each other. Why that a person has been given a particular name? That is, for us, a personal choice of parents, often how that name sounds, or perhaps, boys and girls, then we have a name with which we have been named after our father or mother, grandfather, grandmother, or someone else that you know. But that is not true of this name Jesus, because the Lord has in a very special way and very purposely given unto his son this particular name, Jesus, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thus, not just some haphazard name, but a very specific purpose that the Lord has in giving his son this name. What is that purpose? That purpose is the comfort of the true church of God. The names of the Lord Jesus, they are given to us as a revelation that we, as those who have lost our knowledge of God through the fall, but also that new name that needed to be declared unto those who had fallen, to those who lack understanding, whose understanding is darkened because of our fall, then the Lord has given unto the Son of God many different names. And then in a special way, this name of Jesus, that is to show to us, to reveal to mankind who that this Son of God actually is. And we said later in his work, but now first, even in his person, what is his whole personhood, what is his existence as a man in this world all about? Why is the Son of God called Jesus that is a Savior? Jesus, that means Savior, or Jehovah is salvation, which means that it is the salvation of God Himself. What does that mean? To save. Well, that means that we are being delivered from some great evil, from some great danger. And we know that there are so many organizations that have been developed within our society that may be useful for saving or for the safety of mankind. That within the construction field, for example, then there is an organization that is to watch over the safety of the workers. Then there is an organization to watch for drug safety, and an organization to watch for the safety of the airplanes. And so we can go on and on. We recognize a need for all these organizations. Why? Because we recognize, and it is our experience, that in the world there is much danger. And so to prevent ourselves from falling into these dangers, or to deliver ourselves, firemen, the ambulance, the police, to deliver ourselves from these dangers once we have fallen into them, then we see so clearly the necessity of all these temporal organizations. The congregation, they remain temporal. And by nature, these are the only dangers that we see. Why? Because spiritually, we are dead. And the dead know not anything. The natural dead know no natural dangers. And the spiritual dead, well, then they see no spiritual dangers. We do not see the danger of our state and our condition by nature. And now we read of the revelation of the Son of God. And we read that the Lord Himself, that is not a man, no, but that is God Himself, that is the Father, has given unto the Son of God this name of Jesus. And now this name of Jesus, that is to you and to me a testimony of our danger. That is to us a proclamation of the necessity of our salvation. That God, that He sees it necessary to send His Son for the salvation of His church. That is not the necessity of a temporal organization, no. But that is the necessity for the spiritual salvation of His people. Congregation, when do we need to be saved? We need to be saved when we are in a great danger. We need to be saved when we are not able to save ourselves. Then we need a Savior. Then we need one who can deliver us when it hasn't been possible in the eyes of God that we have been able to save ourselves. Then He had never seen a necessity to send His only begotten Son into this world. The disciples, they cried out, "Lord, save us." Why? It was so completely beyond what they were able to perform. The danger that was so, so great, and there was no power from their own side to overcome that danger that they were in. David speaks about a deep and horrible pit, out of which he says, the Lord has saved him. Oh, then David has experienced and spoke about this in a spiritual way. That he is comparing that deep and that pit and that miry clay to that pit, that spiritual pit that we have brought ourselves into by nature. And that we are not able to lift ourselves out of. Oh, do we ever feel something of this? Our utter helplessness and the wretchedness and the misery of that deep pit. If we have never seen our great danger, if we have never seen our condition, then we never need salvation. But those now who feel something of that danger, those now who feel something of their own helplessness within that danger, those fear for their soul.
because they have no Savior. Is that true now of your own life? And then there is a people that need that the Lord would reveal Himself unto their own soul. There is a people that need that name of Jesus may also be shown unto them. That the Lord may say personally, I am thy salvation. That the Lord may bring His own word within their heart. Because that water that comes to the lips, but it is the Lord who must reveal that there is one name given under heaven among men by whom we must be saved. That the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but that He has come to save them. For God sent not His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Is the whole world then? Is the whole world then saved through that name Jesus? No. No, then He speaks about the world of His elect. Then He speaks about the world of His people. A congregation then, that Savior, then He makes that people safe. You read that in so many places in the Word of God. In the names also that are given to that Son of God, that He is their shield, that He is their buckler, that He is their refuge, that He is a great, the shadow of a great rock, we read, in a weary land, so many different names that are given to that Son of God that is speaking about the safety of that true church through Him whose name is Jesus. But from what does He make them safe? That is our second thought. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. Thus, that is what He saves from. He saves from sin. Is that so dangerous? Is that so threatening? Maybe young people, you say, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think that is quite enjoyable to walk in the ways of sin. I really don't see any danger in it at all. That is what is in your thought. But that is not so. Who makes you think so? That is the devil, because the devil is the liar from the beginning. The fact that Jesus saves from sin, that is speaking to us about the damning nature of sin, that is speaking to us how that sin condemns. Do we ever feel something of the condemning nature of sin? It is because of sin that we are traveling on that broad road that is leading where? That is leading, we read in the Word of God, unto destruction. And now it is in that new life that the eyes are open to see where sin is bringing us, where it has brought us, and where if nothing takes place in our life, where it will lead us in our end. Pilgrim sought. He says, I am living where I am living in a city of destruction. It is because of sin that we are lying under the curse. Oh, it is in that new life when the Lord is opening the eyes that He is giving to see and to feel something of what that curse is due to sin. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. It is sin which has separated us from our Maker, from our Creator. What is in that new life that separation from God is felt, is experienced, and is begun to be mourned over? These are all the consequences of our own sin. Sorrow, misery, suffering, pain, death, separation. Congregation, who would not desire to be delivered from all these consequences, that we may be happy, that we may be joyful, that we may enter one day into that eternal glory? From all these things, Jesus saves His people. He makes them safe from all danger, from all harm. He hides them in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. But our instructors, they don't only speak about saving from the consequences of sin, but also He saveth and delivereth us from our sins. Thus not only to save from the consequences of sin. That new life does not desire only to be saved from the consequences of sin. No, but that new life desires to be, as our instructors say here, delivered from sin itself. And it is by that true faith that is planted in the heart of that true people of the Lord that there is a small beginning, our fathers say, of that new obedience that means to be delivered from sin. That new obedience that is pleasing unto God. Thus, congregation, do we also desire to be saved not only from the consequences of sin, but do we also desire to be delivered from sin itself? Does that show in our life? Say, what is sin? What is sin? That true church desires to be delivered from sin. And in the Word of God, then sin that is shown to us in a number of different aspects. What is that sin from which that true church desires to be delivered from? Sin is in the first place, congregation, a missing of the mark. A missing of the mark. That means a missing of our purpose for which we have been created. That speaks about a life that is completely upside down. Created to serve God, but missing this mark. Is there now a people that may say before God that it is your grief that you miss the mark? Is there now a people that are not able with all your efforts to hit that mark anymore, that need to be saved, that need to be delivered from this sin? What is sin? Sin is a missing of the mark. Sin is also transgression. That is, transgression against the commandments of the Lord. That we cannot keep those commandments anymore. No, not just in an outward way, but that spirituality of the law. Or it is possible that we feel helpless against sin, but that we still do not feel the danger of sin. And when we still do not feel the danger, though we feel helpless against it, still we have no need of a Savior. On the other hand, it is possible that we feel something of the danger of sin, but we do not feel anything of the helplessness against sin. Then we still do not need a Savior, because then we can help ourselves. What did the mariners do? They threw everything overboard. And they rowed hard, congregation, that they may bring it to the land. Oh, that was still their own strength that had not yet come to an end. Oh, is there people that walk over the world with guilt in your soul? Is there a people that cannot do it, congregation, with your own deeds? Do you know where it needs to come in our life? That we see that we simply need to be forgiven. That there is no other way, but that I am not able to make it right anymore. The Lord Jesus did not save himself. The Lord Jesus did not save himself from suffering. He did not save himself from death. His enemies mocked him. Come down from the cross, and then we will believe thee. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. That is not the truth. No, himself he would not save. Why? That he might save others. Therefore, Paul says this, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, he says, am the thief, the chief, that thief sought. He declared his innocence. He confessed his own guilt. And he begged the Lord for mercy. Sin. Oh, to be delivered from sin. What is sin? Sin is a missing of the mark. Sin is transgression. Sin is also called in God's word iniquity. What is that? That is inward corruption. Congregation, is there a people who need to be saved from this? Is there a people for whom that inward corruption
has become a grief, has become a sorrow? And is there a people who see that when that fountain of corruption is never cleansed, that they will forever and forever be cast away? Oh, do you see something of the danger of sin? Iniquity. But do you feel something also of your helplessness against it? That you are not able to deliver yourself from that ever-spewing fountain that is constantly bringing forth mire and dirt? And that you have to say with the Apostle Paul, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Oh, to be delivered, to be saved from sin, from missing the mark, from transgression, from iniquity. Oh, what is sin? Sin is vanity. Vanity. Sin that is a want of integrity. Sin is a departure from the right pathway. Oh, is there a people who see the danger? Is there a people who feel the helplessness because of sin? Sin that is unfaithfulness. Sin that is treason. Sin that is rebellion. That is perverseness of our nature. Oh, in so many ways that we can read how the Lord speaks of sin in His Word. Oh, have you ever felt something of that burden because not of the consequence of sin only, but because of sin itself, that you have become desirous to be delivered from that sin? Or have you ever felt that you are unable to deliver yourself from that sin? Oh, then the Lord, He is showing a person, He is leading a person through that law where? Oh, as a schoolmaster unto His only begotten Son, a need for that blessed Savior, a need for that blessed Jesus. Let us sing first. 141. 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. Let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 141. Our last thought, the extent of this salvation. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Ought not to seek salvation in any other. How full of unbelief is that true church of God, a church that is often seeking salvation elsewhere than in that name of Jesus. It is the testimony of the Lord himself that there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And your congregation, how often is that not so? Especially in the beginning of that new life, before that total depravity of men is really experienced personally in their own heart, that people, they are rowing hard that they might bring it to the land. All rowing hard, working that they might make it well between God and their own soul. Oh, with their mind, yes. With their mind, yes, they know that it is a salvation only by grace, that it is a salvation which is not by works, but unbelief of how deep that our fall actually is. That is the reality of our life. And therefore, an unbelief in the necessity of a Savior. Unbelief in the necessity of Jesus. That testimony of God himself, of the need for a Savior, that need for Jesus, that testimony is put to the side. Until that people may experience for themselves the reality of the depth of their own fall, ought not to seek salvation in any other. And yet a church that is full of this, oh, how long-suffering is the Lord with his own people. And yet they will never find it. No, neither can we find salvation in any other. Seek it with the saints, they will not find it. Not with the deceased saints, and as Rome says, but also not those who are alive of God's people. Or you will not find salvation, congregation, in the good opinion of God's people, in the good opinion of God's servants. They are dying creatures. You will not find safety in your own good intentions, because you have no ability to bring it forth. Or is it different in your life? As it was with the rich young ruler. You will not find safety in your own
resistance to temptation because we are so weak. We cannot keep ourselves. Do you believe that, young people? How weak we are? Therefore, do not play with fire. Stay away from the places of temptation because we are weak and we will fall. Our instructors say here that it is possible that we boast of Him in words and yet deny Jesus, the only Savior. Peter loved the Lord Jesus. That was his master. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he loved him first. So John writes, and yet, O Peter, he felt still so strong in himself that he did not need the help of Jesus. He could save himself. Actually, he could not even see the need that the Lord Jesus should die. Not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But Peter had to learn how weak that he was and how sinful that he was and that he needed a Savior. Congregation, how many also in our days, as we read here, boast of him in words. Then we hear that name Jesus on the lips of so many people in our so-called Christian world. But how many ever really needed him as a Savior from sin? How many ever hated sin? How many ever felt the danger? How many ever felt the helplessness against sin? How many ever actually became a sinner before God that needed to be reconciled to God, who needed to be saved from that sin? How many were ever really stripped from their own righteousness, so that His righteousness became necessary in their life? By nature, we need no Savior. By an education, we talk about guilt. And we talk about the name of Jesus. But in now the practice, it is so different. The Armenians need a half Savior. They need Him to merit it, but they don't need Him to apply it. This we have by common grace. Congregation, man can only get in his own way. He can only get in the way of his own salvation. Why is that? It is because we need to go lost before that we can be saved. What did the Lord Jesus say? Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. Whosoever shall lose his life. Now our question, who of us, of you, of me, who of us will lose our life? Who of us will give that over? The devil was right when he said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. That is why that we can only stand in the way of our own salvation, because we cannot lose our life. It is impossible to justify God in our own condemnation without the work and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And until the Lord takes away our life, until the Lord cuts us off in our life, we remain alive. We uphold ourselves. The Lord must bring us to the edge of the sea. Blessed is that people for whom that the Lord is becoming too strong in your life. When the Lord is working through, and that the Lord is granting a people who need to be saved. Our fathers say, this people, they will by a true faith receive this Savior, and they will find all things in Him necessary unto salvation. All things in Him necessary unto salvation. When they have spent all their living on other physicians and are nothing better, but rather grow worse. All things in Him necessary for salvation, when they have wasted all their substance on riotous living. All things in Him necessary for salvation, when they indeed justly to be hung and to be cast out forever. All things necessary in Him for their salvation, though they be not like one of His handmaidens. That is, not a people who boast of Him in words and yet deny Jesus, the only Savior. But that is a people who are brought with the bride to say, I am black but comely. To the exaltation of that most blessed, free, and sovereign grace bestowed on the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, then how altogether lovely. The chiefest among 10,000 becomes that name of Jesus. For who in the heaven can be likened unto the Lord? For who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. Just the beginning of that feeble song. Here in feebleness will be experienced by that people by moments. He sent from above. He drew me out of many waters. But congregation, when we never knew the need, how is it possible that we would ever experience this salvation? By nature, we are no better than the Jews. We reject that Savior. We crucify that Savior. We mock that Savior. We have no king but Caesar. His name, Jesus, that testifies of our state, of our condition, that name of Jesus testifies that we are condemned. O congregation, believe it and repent. Oh, there is a way yet to be saved. It is still today a day of salvation. Oh, consider personal guilt. Consider personal wretchedness outside of that blessed communion with God. Oh, consider His holiness, His righteousness, and His awful justice. Oh, and seek that salvation in Him whom the Father has called Jesus. Why? That He may save His people from their sins. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou knowest what our hearts are. Oh, instruct us in our need for Thee. Show it to us, Lord. Oh, we can speak about it when Thou wilt give it. We can hear it when our ears are not completely closed. But, Lord, we cannot bring it in our hearts. Oh, we need to go lost. And we will never go lost except that Thou wilt cut us off, show to us that there is no other way. Lord, remember us this week. Bring us safely to our homes. Spare us in the remainder of this day. Help Thy servants and the other congregations, yet also in this evening hour. And wilt Thou be the after speaker of Thy word, and help us each one in our place in this world, and that we may carry over this world a burden, the burden not only of the consequences, but of sin itself, and a desire, and that we may be delivered therefrom. Oh, make Thy dear Son necessary, precious and suitable. Forgive all that was sinful this day. For Jesus' sake, Lord, remember us. Also, when we hope to meet in catechism classes and as a consistory in this week, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore. But let Thy kindness and Thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have compassed me. My sinful deeds arise. Yea, they have overtaken me. I dare not raise my eyes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 110. I did.
sins are more than I can count. My heart has failed for grief. Be pleased, O Lord, to rescue me. All haste to my relief. Be those who seek to hurt my soul dismayed and put to flight, and they themselves be put to shame, who in my woe delight. Let all who seek thee now rejoice, yea, glad in thee abide, and loving thy salvation say, "The Lord be magnified." My lowly state and bitter need, the Lord has not forgot. Thou art my Savior and my help. Come, Lord, and tarry not. Praise God from home, all blessings flow. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.